miss you when I
recording in progress.
Welcome back, everyone. For today, I'm actually joined with all the guys from Talking Backwards. We're going to discuss the nurse from the missing pieces named Bee Roundtree. But before we dive into her, I'll hand over the mic so they can introduce themselves further.
Dive head first into Bee Roundtree. Sorry.
It's filthy.
Hey, everybody. This is Dave from Talking Backwards.
Hey, everybody. It's Patrick from Talking Backwards.
Hey, everybody. It's Tyler from this Twin Peaks podcast called Talking Backwards.
You just had to be different.
Had to be.
We're professionals.
And I guess to start off, just because this is like, of all the characters I've talked about, next to Ronette's Angel, this is the character with the least screen time that I have discussed. To start off, we'll mention the ring at first, because this ring has quite a history for the first 200 years leading up to Bee Roundtree. It starts off Meriwether Lewis in 1805. James Neely took it after his death in 1809. Jack Parsons had it in the 40s, which was strangely confirmed by L. Ron Hubbard and Dougie Milford. Then Richard Nixon had it when he was in Florida at a certain point. Teresa Banks had it. Agent Desmond found it. Laura had it in her dream. Then Mike had it when he confronted Leland. Laura takes the ring. And then we have... Actually, I should probably ask this. For Dougie Milford in season 2, he has a green ring on during his death. Do you think that it's supposed to be the LK ring, even retroactively, or do you just kind of dismiss that?
I do.
I dismiss nothing.
I do because, I mean, I don't, I, he, because he died with it on, right? I feel like that's too perfect. So in my head, it is the LK ring, even if it's retconned. I love that, especially with everything we know about that character from Secret History of Twin Peaks. I'm all about it.
I mean, whether that's expressly supposed to be what it is or not, it's at least supposed to make you think it. It's all intentional. Like, that is there to be seen and questioned. Like, is it the real thing, or is it just a red herring or a green herring in this case? I'm extremely funny. It's it's absolutely there to be seen for a reason. I like the idea that it's the real thing. I think for me that wouldn't track as far as where it ends up after that and where it's been before. And you were running down the history of the placement, and I'm trying to remember it was the Secret History book during the whole history lesson at the beginning. There's a bit where the Nez Perce have an experience where they're able to kind of disappear from their enemies or from their pursuers and reappear somewhere else. I don't remember if it was said, did they have a or the ring at that time?
I think that was Chief Twisted Hair. I know he handed it, we're talking about Chief Joseph. No, actually, I would say that at least with Chief Twist there, he was part of the Nez Perce tribe, right? But it was like earlier. Yeah, I think that they had it, but there was under no circumstances should you ever wear this. Whenever I think of the Nez Perce, I think of more so just like, you know, what the Red Room was to them, because at least when they described that, that's kind of what I thought first and foremost. I always thought the ring was just that they kind of knew that there was a far too much of a fantastical power to really mess with it. So admittedly, I haven't given the thought of the ring relative to the Nez Perce too much thought up until now.
Yeah. Maybe I'm conflating that with Lord of the Rings stuff, but there's some Tolkien vibes, you know, as far as, you know, the ring and it kind of drawing people to it and ending up in hands and like being abused for its power, or, you know, being this mysterious thing that probably should be just thrown away, but always ends up in somebody's possession that for whatever reason really, really wants it.
Like, can it be thrown away?
Yeah, you can just throw it in the trash.
I guess there's a bit of a yes and no to that, because I know that me and Joel Baca, we've talked about it on occasion or two, where he was talking about when he watched the original series and Fire Walk With Me, he would think of the ring, and he would think of like how like there's all these endless possibilities. And then when The Return came around, it kind of felt, it was almost like a reductive to him about how it kind of brings you back to the Red Room. So if we're going to take Dougie Milford into account, we could say that, you know, he goes into the Red Room. Mike or someone, they get the ring. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is that in the season 2 finale, we see Annie. She's at that altar. It's the same altar that we see in The Missing Pieces and Fire Walk With Me. It's actually right before Cooper and Wyndham Earl have their, like, major confrontation before Annie disappears. But the thing is that it's, I guess it's implied that Annie took that ring like off screen before the before that those events. So, and I think that of course this is a pretty good lead into B Roundtree. Actually, no, I guess before I go too much further, did you have any thoughts about the ring up until the points of the season two finale?
I mean, I have something I want to talk about from that scene from the season two finale because we never see Mike Gerard, which is what I officially call him from here on out, from us playing the board game recently. Mike Gerard is not in the season two finale. And Mike Gerard is basically the ring bearer. We see this guy with the ring in Fire Walk With Me in the return. He's the guy that's just handing it out. He's like, man, you want it? You want it? You want it. Take it. So, was he there and did he give it to her off screen? Because how did Annie get the ring? That's why does she have it? That's a big question for me.
I guess the other one that's worth mentioning, and I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the ring, but I'm thinking of the way that Annie disappears in that scene before Wendell Merle and Cooper have their confrontation. But also, Maddie, she disappears when she tells Cooper to beware of my cousin. And they're the only two characters that just disappear like that in the
Yeah,
season
they
two
like fade
finale.
out. Yeah.
And again, this might be veering off the course of the ring, definitely for B Roundtree at the moment. But I guess, you know, while we're on that topic, any thoughts about the disappearance and if it does correlate with the ring?
I mean, we obviously see in Fire Walk With Me, Chet Desmond disappears as soon as he touches the ring. But that's not how it always happens. Some people get it given to them and they take it off of somebody else and put it on, or they put it on somebody else and they don't just immediately disappear. So what is it doing?
It's about intent.
It's a little different because this doesn't necessarily cover B Roundtree or Annie, but I was talking about in my Teresa Banks episode, we were talking about like the ring and why it makes Teresa Banks and Laura Palmer's arm go numb. And I think that I can't articulate why, but there's something about the ring that if you're going to die within a set period of time, within like 3 or 4 days, your arm will go numb if you wear it. It's like the ring is just this very amorphous thing where there's not really certain properties. You're not really sure why people react the way they do. Yeah, no, there's just something about the ring that just is very amorphous, and it's kind of hard to know where to come at when we take B Roundtree into account.
Yeah, it's Tyler said something about intent a second ago that I hadn't really thought about. It's like, is it did you mean the person trying to get its intent or the ring's intent?
Could be both because when we have that scene when B Roundtree when she's it's supposed to be 2:30 a.m. around this time, and I'm not sure if there's a symbology of the if there's anything symbolic about the numerology in this scene. I would imagine it is. I'm sure because Lynch is very deliberate with it. But that's when Annie says, "You know, my name is Annie." She says the same thing to Laura as is in her dream. But then the nurse who has no reason to do it, she kind of waves to make sure she's comprehensive, and then she takes the ring off of her, and then she looks into the reflection. And of course, this is a very Lynchian element itself because usually looking at a reflection, it's a pretty insidious thing. We even have it with bookends with the original series with like Josie look in the mirror with her storied history, Cooper's doppelganger look in the mirror seeing Bob at the end. So just those two alone just make you realize that looking into a mirror is usually represents something dark. And with her wearing the ring and looking at almost almost like it's like a reward of sorts, and then storming off. I feel like there's a lot to be said about what B Roundtree's motivations were.
So yeah, when she starts, so obviously when Annie starts talking, that's jarring and upsetting because she's been in just this catatonic state the whole time. Now she has something to say, and then she's done saying it, and she's right back to being glassy-eyed and still. So yeah, she's checking like, are you done? A. But then like the next thing she does is be like, oh, but how about that ring though? And it's like she's kind of entranced and called by it. You know, she is just like has this like, oh, what do we have here? Like, and this is not the first time she's done this. I
No,
think
she's a
she's a
petty thief.
thief. Yeah. I think she's just kind of a terrible person. And that goes on into my next point. So yeah, she like gets this look of like a like there's a treasure or a reward here. And she gets it, puts it on, turns to her reflection, does the meanwhile hands, and
This is where homie from Oh Brother Where Art Thou needs to chime in and says, do not seek the treasure.
Absolutely. But yeah,
Yeah,
and yeah, the look on her face is just like, like it's somebody else, like something is driving her, and like kind of God is like, we did it. And I, yeah, so like I think she's just a bad person, which we have had a conversation on our show about as far as Leland was concerned and his whole deal with being open to possession and this kind of control from whatever forces that be. Him being a bad person to begin with is kind of what opened him up to be that vessel for Bob. And I think this is just another example of somebody being a terrible person that, you know, steals from the catatonic and probably the dead at some point, and
Yeah.
is just another candidate for an agent.
Right now I'm thinking of Ralph Breaks the Internet and like how when he gets the vi or tries to get a virus to slow down a game, but the virus just looks for insecurities to penetrate and then infect any code base. Like right now, like you talking about that made me think of like the ring is like a virus.
This is also a good segue because I'll start off by saying that Pam Terjak from Between Two Worlds, when I mentioned that we were going to do this episode, she actually talked about how she thought this was a relative of Chantal, whether it's like a cousin or an aunt or something like that. And I know that when you all had your conversation with Jay and Mel from Dampvine TV about it, that we were talking about other characters that we've seen or have been talked about in Twin Peaks. I just want to ask, like, where do you all stand in terms of who Bee Roundtree could be? Like, do you think she's a character just completely independent from everything, or do you think she's someone who's pre-existing?
Just to bounce off that quick, I mean, that was the thing that I was mostly excited about to talk about this, because on our show, yeah, I mean, this is such a minor scene, but it would come up from time to time, mostly by Tyler, and it was just but it was in passing, and it always seemed like such a interesting scene to reference, and there was, it was calling to Tyler, like the ring was calling to Bee Roundtree. Like this, something was making us like come back to it from time to time, and I loved that. I don't think I still quite understand why, but I was like, well, we have to talk about this in depth because nobody else probably has. So that made the most sense. Now, whether or not I think it's like another character, because I know we've said, I think I said Ruth Davenport at one point, which Tyler just didn't like immediately. Tyler has said Judy. I don't. Chantel's in. Now I'm like, my wheels are turning there because I, you know what? Who knows? You know, is it a distant relative of Meriwether Lewis, Tyler?
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess for me, and who knows, this could very feasibly be the distant relative of Meriwether Lewis. But while Pam was talking about how this was, a relative of Chantal, I actually thought, like, what if it's just Chantal just there in Twin Peaks, Calhoun Memorial Hospital? Because Jennifer Jason Leigh, she was born in 1962, and I know that obviously we don't have to adhere to the ages of the actors. But the nurse could very easily be mid-late 20s. There's nothing that could make me think that it couldn't be her. And she has a similar, definitely eyes and facial structure to Jennifer Jason Leigh. And her connection to Mr. C and his proximity to Twin Peaks, The Ring. We know he goes back to the hospital like in like a day or two. I know that, of course, this seems like, what are the chances that Chantal, this like Tarantino-esque character outside of Twin Peaks and The Return, would be at Calhoun Memorial Hospital? But I do think that there's at least something interesting about when you take account that Jennifer Jason Leigh does look like the actress who plays Bee Roundtree.
Yeah, we know Mr. C, after pushing his face into a mirror at the end of season two, goes to the hospital. It's told to us by Doc Hayward in The Return. I think it's possible he could have went there looking for the ring. I do remember a lot of people, this was back when when The Return was airing. There were a lot of threads on Reddit when around the time of the scene with Doc Hayward talking to Sheriff Truman. Sheriff Truman too. That he saw him coming out of the intensive care, and people were not having, and I certainly wasn't buying it either at the time, that he could have went in there to rape Audrey, because that's just not, you don't want to think about that, and it's not, it's not comfortable. But Bob's riding with him, it could happen. But people were always like, oh, but the nurse, he could have went there looking for the ring. Like maybe he knew that the ring was there. It's like, oh, then that has to be it. Like that's why he was there. We're gonna gloss it. We're not, stuff with Audrey didn't happen. He was there
He
for
could
the
be there for
ring.
more than one reason.
He could absolutely be there for more than one reason. And
He's very efficient.
could he have picked up the nurse who's now Chantel and just she helped him for 25 years run this operation. It's plausible. It's possible.
He does go to her right after he gets hurt, doesn't he?
Yeah, and she's there immediately after he kills Dari. I'm trying to think of like her essential scenes that aren't like just with Hutch eating Cheetos.
As important as those are.
They are very
Yes.
important, especially to David Lynch, I've learned
Yeah, I
recently.
actually will buy that. My whole thinking about the reason for the scene to me, and like why I don't understand why it was missing, is this kind of feels like just the kind of a tag on the end of the events as we know them. And it's like the end of a movie, like there's a cursed object, and it's like we have to get rid of this thing, and we have to bury it and forget it forever. And then it's like, 20 years later, and some kid's playing in a sandbox and digs up
The
whatever the cursed
end
artifact
of
is. It's like, ooh,
Jumanji.
yeah, it's the end of Jumanji. It's like it's just the next step on this
Yeah.
thing's path.
Right.
They see it as like a living
Next
end.
rung on the length of ladder ladder.
Actually, on the topic of time jumps you were mentioning, because I did rewatch this scene before recording to see how it cuts back and forth with Cooper in the Red Room. But I think the first thing that's worth mentioning is that the first establishing shot to show this is after the events of Laura's passing, it says some months later, which is
Right.
just no, that is not, that is just straight up like categorically false to me.
Yeah.
But this might be a dismissive outlook. I kind of figure that Lynch just didn't really care much about continuity in a lot of cases. Case in point, the Palmer home being completely different. There's all this different hair continuity in Fire Walk Me compared to the original series. I kind of just got the vibe that Lynch just didn't care that each episode was like day in, day out in the original series, and that it was only a month rather than some months
Right.
later.
Yeah.
But do you think there's anything beyond that? Do you think there's like almost a an esoteric or even a better way to put it, an omnipresent time being omnipresent that's worth considering for this?
I do. So we did get into some discussion, during the return about, what year is this? Which timeline are we in currently? Like which?
Well, we all know how time works in Twin Peaks.
That we do.
Oh yeah. Time in Twin Peaks, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I've always been on the train that whatever you're seeing scene to scene isn't necessarily within the same timeline as the one before or after it.
For sure.
Sometimes,
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
But
Saying some months later, and then is that like right before the Red Room scene?
yeah, well, actually, it's worth mentioning is that the first establishing shot, and I'm glad we talk about reflections, that the first establishing shot is that we see that dark frozen puddle and it shows the red curtains reflected in it. And then it says some months later. And once again, I know I mentioned my piece on where I feel about reflections and the fact that it's dark and it has the curtains. I feel like that's at least worth addressing. I thought there was, there's other factors of like why he used it outside of some months later, but I do think that is at least worth bringing up.
Right, and it's what's the intentionality? Some months later, after what?
After, well, yeah, because
After
then
what we
it,
just saw, or
what's
something
the first
from
line in
some
the Red
months
Room
ago?
in that scene? So it's like, some months later, is it future or is it past?
Yeah,
Some months later
right.
from 10
From
years ago,
when, right.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
when this nurse is obviously wearing some dated, not timely
Yeah,
outfit.
that's true.
So.
So I did try to look up traditional nurse uniforms to try and find if that was just the standard.
It was from like the 40s.
Yeah.
You might think I'm saying this just as a joke or a punchline, but I'm asking this in total earnestness. Do you think this is like a hotel room situation where it's like there's this one occupied room and
Like
there's like
matchstick
these,
men.
yeah, it's like there's the bellhops are the only people that show up in every episode, despite the fact that it's in all these different decades. And once again, I'm not saying this is a joke. This is totally in earnest. Do you think that's kind of what's going on with the nurse?
I mean, we see him run down the hallway at what looks like a hospital, like with her in the bed. So I
It's this
don't.
is the back half of the Great Northern that we never see.
Ooh, the hospital portion.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean
The
there's so
hospital wing.
they're running with Annie down the hallway for we assume months and
Yes.
She's been
bring her to this
I would
room.
love that if it was like they
Just a
bust into the
never-ending hallway.
hospital and then it's like some months later and then they finally got to the room.
They finally got a room to open up.
Yes.
No, you gotta, no, she gets,
Just left her bloody the whole time.
you gotta give her the best room. It's Miss Twin Peaks we're talking about here. She needs
That's
the
right. She can't
finest
win.
room in the hospital.
One thing to mention about the ring itself, we have the scene where going down the hospital, the one the doctor says, Sheriff Truman found her this way. We see the Bea Roundtree running alongside with her. And then it cuts to Cooper in the Red Room. He sees the man from another place. And I believe it's in this part where the arm says, someone else has it now. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder if there's almost like an enthusiastic response that he knows this ring is going into, for him, the right hands. Maybe Annie was just supposed to get it out, but it's, you know, the right person is supposed to get it for whatever his goal is. Is there anything we should mention about someone else? Because up until today, I thought it was like explicitly about Annie Blackburn, but maybe the whole plan was
that I thought it was the nurse.
Yeah, that's the thing, that it didn't even cross my mind up until today that it would be that someone else would be the nurse at this point. And why, yeah. I think it's interesting to talk about why I think it's Chantal, or, you know, a couple years back where one of you said that you thought it was Judy even. So I think that, you know, the fact that the arm says someone else has it now, and then he gets much more enthusiastic when Cooper realizes he can't leave the Red Room.
Yeah,
I think it's after she puts on the ring, he looks at the arm and says, where am I and how can I leave? And I always took the scene as like slight dark comedy to me, because he says nowhere to go but home, and he starts getting into his dance. You see the dance of the dream, man. I just had this moment of like where Cooper, he just has this like almost internal screaming, but then it has that hard cut of Cooper where it's like that slow motion, and you see the, you know, the Red Room imposed over him, and I think that's at least an interesting factor of like the nurse in the ring, because I think this like effectively seals his fate, because, you know, with Annie, maybe she could have, in theory, gone back to Glastonbury Grove to get him. But now that the Bea Roundtree has the ring, he's just stuck there for 25 years. But at that point, he has no idea how long it will be.
Yeah, Roundtree has no intention of going and getting anybody out of anywhere. Yeah, I think there's a lot to the someone else has it now statement. This is like you said, you know, Annie gets it out of there, and then it's taken from her. We assume to be given to somebody else. Like, I don't think Bea Roundtree is the end all be all of this transition, but get it off Annie and get it back out in the world. Keep him trapped. I think it is a little sinister. It's like, I lost the key, man. You're here. Sorry.
Mike Gerard gave it to Annie off screen. He had no idea about the doppelganger and Cooper. He didn't know that this was a thing that was happening in the other room. No idea that this guy could either work with Bea Roundtree or take it from Bea Roundtree. And this may be jumping ahead a bit in the conversation, but the next time we see the ring like on screen in this story is with Dougie Jones. I kind of feel like Mr. C put it on Dougie when he made the tulpa. Like, I feel like he gave it to him. This is yours now, man. Like, keep, never take it off.
I know that obviously we can always debate the subjectivity of the ring. And I can't believe I'm bringing this up in a Bea Roundtree episode of all things, but we have to address how Lana, and specifically Trump of all people, wore the ring. And, you know, right. so how, and I'm not saying this as a joke. I'm just, if we're taking Tammy to heart on this,
yeah,
how does Mr. C factor Lana, into this? Like, I'm not trying to say that Mr. C was rubbing elbows with Trump or anything, but it's just that,
let's be real.
He made Trump.
Trump owned the building that became the glass box. He bought it from him. There you go. New York City.
That's true. It was in Trump Tower.
Yeah. Hey. Maybe.
The New York.
But just because they're both like billionaires and total scumbags, that, you know, that doesn't really mean anything.
Well, there's only like six of them, so they all hang out together.
That's true.
We were talking about the ring on screen, and I have thoughts about, you know, how the Dougie tulpa got to it, but does anyone have anything about the trajectory of Bea Roundtree and the missing pieces up until the Dougie tulpa?
My question really is, what do we know the ring's whereabouts relative to part 8?
That's a really good question. I mean, obviously it's not on screen necessarily, but
it gets put on Ray. Right.
Part 13. That, yeah. Part 13 is
Right. But Ray has it in his possession, I believe. Yeah. I think maybe I talked about this. I always felt like he was too much in a trance when he got help, when Mr. C got help, that he forgot to put the ring on him. So then he had it, you know, at the farm. He would have had it in his possession unless Mike wandered up off screen.
True. Like all day, I've been thinking about two things, and it was like the ring and B Roundtree with some kind of like Ruby Slipper, Wicked Witch of the East type of thing, or
But kind of reversed. Of the Good Witch got smashed.
Black Lodge
Yeah,
style
well,
reversed.
East and West were wicked witches.
Oh,
But
okay.
sorry.
Gotta be specific.
Or that there's some kind of like time travel thing, like with her being in that particular nursing outfit, like being in the 40s or
Is
whatever.
it possible that Twin Peaks, being a large small town, just is not up to date on their clothing in the hospital? The hospital doesn't have the budget.
That is interesting to think about.
Maybe.
So when Annie came out of the lodge, we don't necessarily know what year she came out in, and that Sheriff Truman could have been,
Is it
Sheriff
future or is it
Truman
past?
Senior.
It's all said right before
Yeah, but
this.
they do. But that's the pro. The only and that and I hate that it's said. It does. They mention Sheriff Truman when they're running her down the hallway at the hotel. That's the only like I love. Like that got me really excited for 2 seconds until there's that one thing that's like, nope.
Because I don't think it necessarily destroys anything regarding what we're talking about, because I think he's at least on, he's still part of the sheriff station for a few years before Frank Truman takes over. So,
True, but would his family have been like sheriff like 20, 30, 40
it's a
years
long
before
line of sheriffs.
But
in the Truman family?
I guess, if we're going with the idea that some months later, I still think it works well enough in the confines. I think it's pushing boundaries a little bit, but I still think it can work well enough with that mindset.
Let's not go pushing boundaries at Twin Peaks.
No pushing boundaries. Like the thought that just entered my head, the nurse took the ring to go back in time and like was preventing a gold ball from smashing the earth and hit it with the ring, and then
Oh,
it created an atomic explosion.
where's that
That's canon.
scene? Yeah,
It's canon.
right. I was mentioning a thing, kind of half joking about the whole Trump with the ring, but for me, I kind of just overlooked that part. But what I think about is that it's the part when it's the Fusco brothers. They're talking about the Dougie tulpa, and of course, they don't know it's a tulpa, but. He's talking about, he's like, oh, there's nothing on this guy. There's not a social security. There's no work employment. There's no school until 1997 or 7 years later. It's definitely years after the events of the original series. And I kind of have this mindset that Mr. C, he was holding onto the ring like pretty much the whole time. And the thing is that like it took a while like to create a tulpa to do what would ultimately end up happening in part three. That he had like 25 years to really worry about this, and the Tulpa was just like it either took too much resources or it was just a thing that he was holding off. We're veering off the realm of B Roundtree, but anything you ever thought about in regards to the Dougie Tulpa and its creation?
I've always seen it as just kind of a decoy. And I
Yeah.
think giving it the ring kind of made things into a shell game. If you're looking for that face, and it's with the wrong guy, or you maybe you get Mr. C, but you don't get the ring. And then if you get Dougie, maybe you get the ring, but you don't get Mr. C. Like it's just keeping things together but separate.
Separate but equal.
Yeah.
It's not impossible too, and we haven't even talked about if there's multiple rings. I feel like the discussion is that they're going on here. We're playing enough that there's one, but
Well, we know there's at least two.
okay, there's
And
two.
Dougie had one,
Yeah.
and then there's this other
Well,
one.
I was gonna say if Mr. C took it from B Roundtree, or if we're going back to the hospital stuff, it's not impossible that he could have even put it on Audrey and this and all the weird stuff that happened with her that we see in the return. Because there's definitely Black Lodge stuff going on there, especially when you like put in the after Audrey's dance in part 16, and the end credits are being played backwards, pretty much telling you like, yeah, we did it.
Actually, Patrick, this one I am actually thinking about. When you say multiple rings, do you think that there's like either multiple rings that come out from the Red Room, or do you think it's more so rather when Cooper tries to rescue Laura in part 17 that effectively two timelines are now made, and it's just two rings that are kind of like coinciding? And on top of that, everything's omnipresent at this point for it, anyways.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I like that more. I like Cooper going back with a ring, and they're just being rings lost to time. I mean, who's to say Philip Jeffries didn't have a ring, at some point and taking it back. Whatever happened with Chet Desmond's, is that the same ring? I don't know. But when he found it, I mean, who knows? We don't know.
So I would be on board for the idea of, you know, multiple rings being made at the same time and being out in the universe if it wasn't referred to as the ring a couple of times. So I do like very much the idea of, you know, a timeline splitting and the ring just being again. Like, it's still the ring, just in another place in time. And, you know, when you start crossing the streams, as it were, you know, you end up with the same ring in two places in time in the same timeline. I can get behind that. But I do think it was intended to just be this one kind of failsafe for whatever it is supposed to be, whatever it's binding to, whatever. I think it's supposed to have been the one thing that can do it. But then you start playing with time and you start having all these randos wandering in and out of the lodge, you know, and, you know, Mike's just tossing it out like candy. Is it the same ring, or is there the ring again, and then maybe the same way Mr. C did, there's just decoy rings. So maybe you think you've got it and you don't. Maybe Chet Desmond's in the trailer park, he sees what he believes to be the ring, reaches for it, and uh-oh, it's a trap. Like, that's not the ring.
Right.
That's just a carrot and a box.
Now we're setting the precedent that there'd be multiple rings and I guess different properties even. Dave, for you, do you think that there's something about Desmond's fate now that we've established there's multiple rings and they might have different ramifications? Because at least the one we see in The Return, that one just, it seems like it sends the person to the Red Room for whatever fate awaits them. But, you know, if there's multiple rings, do they all do the same thing in your mind? Or do you think that they have different things that they can do for different people?
So I just now had this thought. I believe that the ring, in whatever form it is supposed to be tethering you to one of the other worlds. So there's the one that will put you in the waiting room. There's the one that will make you just disappear. There's, and who knows where what that dimension is. You know, I have this theory that there are dimensions that the lodges control. I think there's one called non-existent. I think there's one called meanwhile. I think there's the one that we're ostensibly in for the majority of the series. And I think that if there are multiple actual rings out there, that it will send you to one of these different spots. Some of them you can come back from and some you can't.
I feel like that makes sense, but maybe like if we're talking about the same ring, but multiple rings spun out from splitting timelines, then it could just send you to that timeline's Red Room. Like, so that's why you would disappear or things like that. And then you get all these like mixed mingling entities between timelines because everybody's thinking they have the one ring from their timeline, and then but everybody's just like mix matching all over streams.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then you have the scene with the arm, or the evolution of the arm, I guess, where everything's collapsing and falling apart and shaking and earthquaking. And like, if that Red Room is destroyed, then if you get sent there, where do you end up? No, it's
hell.
Wild to think about.
Since we're talking about the properties of the ring, I'm going to come back to when me and Joel Bacco were talking about, is that he didn't quite like the idea, as I mentioned, that it just sends you to the Red Room. But for me, I look at the ring, you know, with that mindset where I'm fine with it, because I think of in season two when Hawk is talking to Cooper about, you know, the Black Lodge and the White Lodge, and he's talking about, you know, that if you face this with imperfect courage, it will annihilate your soul. And I think in the case of the Return, you know, we get, Ray Monroe, he wears it, you know, upon his death. Mr. C wears it upon his death. So I think for me, it's like, it depends on who wears the ring. You know, it's like they have to face this particular fate. And, you know, does this person have the imperfect courage to get through it? So for me, it's like, you know, we're just seeing like a couple of stories in like a much broader perspective. So I think that, you know, the ring can still have like this like great, like almost off-screen odyssey, depending on like, you know, which character wears the ring and what choices they would make for it.
You could think about it like a Final Judgment, but, you know, where you can think of, you know, just somebody dying regularly. If you're a Christian, maybe you think you end up at the gates of heaven and you get met by somebody who judges you, you know, based on the life you led. And then they decide where you go, whether you stay or, get sent down under. But if you're thinking in the realm of these invaders, if we believe that Bob was created by Judy and then came down, and like we have this, gold ball that was created to fight back against that, if there's these like other gods at play here, then if you die wearing the ring, then you meet their judgment of you, and they decide what happens to you. And maybe that's where a perfect or imperfect courage comes into play. Hadn't thought about that before, but that's horrifying.
I guess that because you mentioned with the golden orb, I feel like this is a good time to mention because we're talking about people who die when they wear the ring. Is that in the case of Laura? I look at if we're talking about her story and the Fire Walk Me as a broad stroke, I think it's her just like summing up like that bravery and that courage to confront, the evil of who Bob is and to make these decisions. And this is gonna tie into her being the one, but. I'm thinking of like, when the ring is thrown into the train car, we see that golden circle around it. And the thing is that, it's like in that exact moment, she's doing the right thing to take agency over Bob slash Leland. So when we see her in Fire Walk Me, I do maintain it that that scene of her getting the angel is the final scene of all of Twin Peaks for me. And that's, she's the example of like, she did this with absolute courage. And like, this is what she gets at the end of this, like, horrifying life that she had, like leading up to her death.
Yeah, you see her angels leave her, and then she gets an angel back there finally. It's like, here's your final reward, you're finally free. I mean, that the fact that it happens in the Red Room, that kind of is her final judgment. I'm firmly in the stance of, what I just theorized. Like that should be the end of it.
To tie something from Laura back to B. Roundtree, because I'm just
Oh yeah, be
remembering
around
it.
tree.
There's a great Twitter account. The user is Fake Colossal.
Oh,
I don't
he's
know who runs it.
brilliant. He's had
Okay,
like brilliant observations throughout the couple years.
yeah, they're amazing. But he had this great thread that came up about the nurse, and it was comparing a bunch of the scenes to a 1966 film called Persona. And there's a lot of really interesting comparisons, just like with the imagery and stuff. But then he kind of, as he got down through the thread, he's like, well, here's just a couple other random things just related to the nurse. And he included a screenshot from the pilot where I believe it's from the pilot, in Laura's room. I'm going to assume maybe one of the scenes when like Leland and Hawk are in her room, there's like a little stuffed, I don't want to call it like an animal, but it's like in a nurse outfit that's like on her shelf that's just sitting there. It's just a nurse imagery. I don't know. Just when you were talking about Laura, I was like, oh, we can circle this back to B. Roundtree. But it's really interesting that that's in her room.
That's interesting.
I said everything in my notes about B. Roundtree, but I guess the last thing I could ask is that because this takes place after the events of season two, because we spent a lot of time in Calhoun Memorial Hospital throughout the original series, especially in that season two premiere. Do you think there's anything worth addressing about B. Roundtree and her role in terms of like what we see in the original series, even if it's off screen during that time?
Like she was hired the day before Annie showed up.
She's chief of medicine.
Dave, you brought up a really good point about Leland, about how when he accepted Bob, there's already an evil with him, so just almost like it was something to kind of reaffirm that he's like the right vessel for Bob. I kind of think that maybe there's something like that if I'm going to go with the idea that Chantel is B. Roundtree, because maybe there's something, you're mentioning, like, we're all kind of mentioning, kind of like maybe joking or not, that it's like thievery or this is not the first time she's done it. But what if this is something that, like, because she has the ring and she's open up to this evil, and then Mr. C slash Bob are in close proximity. I know it seems kind of coincidental, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that this could be a thing that would lead to her being with Chantel, Hutch, and the line of work she has in the return. And like I said, there's no confirmation. Like, maybe tomorrow Mark Frost will just say no, that's total nonsense. But no, I guess that's where I stand with B.
Hope so.
Roundtree, is that she was just like, someone who is rather innocuous, but there's like a low-key insidiousness that was in her leading up to the events of the missing pieces.
I think she was just a pawn. I don't think that she's a major player necessarily.
I was just gonna say that with this new Chantal information, B Roundtree is just Chantal's current roommate, and she's been manipulated into getting this ring because she works at the hospital.
And if I may,
Yes.
so the ring goes from Annie to the nurse to either Chantal or Mr. C. So it goes from Annie to B Roundtree to Mr. C, A to
A,
B to
B,
C.
to C.
That's brilliant. I didn't even think about that till now. I actually no, I'm stunned I didn't bring this up
What?
yet. Because I did bring up a little bit of the iconography, but I'm thinking of like how circular objects are like very prominent, like case in point, like the golden orb we were talking about. And of course, like the woods are like such a prevalent part of Twin Peaks. The name Roundtree, that's not a coincidence that there had to have been something, even if it was just planned for a hypothetical, Twin Peaks film in the 90s taking place after the original series. Do you think there's something worth discussing about the name Roundtree and like why Lynch was very insistent on this being the name for her?
Well, before I forget, because we didn't learn B Roundtree until way like we were doing the return recap. I think leading up to that, where I was like, "Oh, she has a name." So I don't know. Was she? I'm assuming she was credited as that in the missing pieces because she wasn't in Fire Walk With Me. Like, was that actually her name in like the script for the movie?
I don't know, but the only thing I can go by is that, because actually I will mention is that where I stand on this, Khalil from the Wonderful and Strange Wildcast, he's the one that mentioned that her name is B Roundtree to me, like when we did the Dick Tremaine episode. And the thing is that she is wearing the name tag, but like, it's obscured a little bit. So, whoever did the Twin Peaks wiki really did their homework to try to figure out like the name of this nurse.
I was gonna say, I believe Patrick does have some trivia about the name.
I'm gonna let you do it because I felt bad for stealing it in our text message. So you can say it.
Okay,
I don't have it. I
I'll
also don't have it
I don't want to
pulled
get it
up.
wrong because I looked it up and I had it in my notes and I got rid of it because you brought it up.
Oh, that's funny.
So, by definition, Roundtree means American Mountain Ash. It is the name for American Mountain Ash. So, mountains, peaks, ash from fire. It's all, and round, circles, tree, woods. It's all, it's all of
Connected.
it. It's all of it in there.
Confirmed.
Yeah, the name is intentional, which again just makes me feel more that she's there for a purpose of taking the ring from Annie in the
And of course,
hospital.
we all know that the B stands for big ol'.
Big
Big
old
ol'
round
round
tree.
tree.
Yep.
Yep. Confirmed.
I think that says everything. I mean, for a character that we see for 30 seconds, I feel like it sparked a lot of discourse, but was there any other final thoughts we should keep in mind before we close out today's episode?
I was going to bring up, just because it's loosely related, I think I found two quotes from David Lynch nearly 20 years apart from each other, because one is from like the Lynch on Lynch book in the 90s, and one was like in 2018 after The Return. They both almost say the same thing. And it's more or less about Annie's scene with Laura in Fire Walk With Me, but I think it's so connected to the B Roundtree scene. I just wanted to read it because I just think it's interesting. He said, "I've got one thing to say about that scene where Annie suddenly appears in Laura's bed. This is before Laura's been murdered and before Cooper has come to Twin Peaks. Annie appears, filled with blood and wearing the exact same dress that she's wearing when she was in the Red Room with Cooper in the series. In the future, she says to Laura, 'The Goodale's in the lodge. Write it in your diary.' And I know that Laura wrote that down in a little side space in her diary. Now, if Twin Peaks the series had continued, someone may have found that. It's like someone in 1920 saying Lee Harvey Oswald or something. And then later, you sort of see it all. I had hopes of something coming out of that, and I liked the idea of the story going back and forth in time." End quote. And then the same thing, like nearly the same thing, a much shorter quote. This was in 2018. Someone asked him, I guess, something similar, and he said, "For a long time, no itch, but at the same time, there's a thing in Fire Walk With Me where Laura's in her bed, she's visited by Annie. Annie says, 'I'm in the Black Lodge with the good Dale, write that in your diary.' That little bit right there held a string of dreams." I think it's fascinating that this scene, like he was so latched onto this scene and how like everything that it could kind of open, yet we didn't get any Annie or like in the return, and that wasn't like really, really explored like more. And that goes back to your point, Colin, about if there had been more movies in the 90s, would this have been explored further? I feel like it would have.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. But I guess, no, because there's only so much we can really hypothesize on the movies. Personally, I guess, you know, I'll always say that I would have thought that Major Briggs would have been, like, I guess if there was a main character, he would have been it. And that maybe the nurse would have, you know, obviously the Chantal thing would not have happened because she wasn't thought of at the time. But yeah, that's kind of the trajectory that I would have thought that they would have taken, and you know, what the ring would have meant to Mark Frost, maybe that would have been, led to something different. But I guess to talk about the return in particular, because this is more tangential to B. Roundtree, but you know, the Good Dales in the Lodge, like, no, that's written in Laura's diary, and years later, Truman and Hawk, they're going through the diary. And, you know, we were talking about different timelines, and I think this scene is kind of, like, a factor of that, is that, like, I think they're in a different timeline where Laura's not dead, she's missing. Because I don't... Do they refer to it as a Laura Palmer murder? I think they just say the Laura Palmer case.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think they actually say murdered.
Maybe she just vanished in that instance. Yeah.
Yeah, looking at the other timeline, that's what's also fascinating about any, like, you know, return rewatch. You look for those details, like, oh, is this, which timeline is this, is this scene in?
Before we close off, did you think there was anything relative to B. Roundtree to Frank Truman or Hawk? Or do you think it's just so indirect at this point that it's not even worth addressing?
I think we didn't get to see what the true intentionality was for this character. If you look up Teresa Tinling, who plays the character, she's not really done anything. Like, this was a flash in the pan moment for this actress that maybe had a lot more intention behind it from David Lynch, and because the series did not continue, they just didn't get that chance. And I mean, just, I guess, just what a shame for her, because this could have been a big deal. Yeah, I think that this was supposed to be a tease for this character and for what was going to come of that, and it just didn't get to see it out.
I think that does wrap up everything about B. Roundtree. Was there any closing thoughts or anything you want to say that you're up to these days or anything of that nature?
We are currently doing a little bit of work. We've been pretty quiet for a while, but we're trying to get some new stuff out. We recently played the board game, as we referenced. So we're going to have a whole episode of that coming out, and we're working on a couple of other little sneaky projects, and hopefully we'll have some more good things and good fun to have with the Twin Peaks community soon.
And, you know, of course, I'll have, you know, any social media or anything you want to plug in the show notes. But no, I want to thank you all for coming on.
Thank you, Colin.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a blast.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Together.